Uh-huh.
The champ is here.
I have arrived.
The champ is here.
Holla.
The champ is here. The champ
I'm
a
kill him with the first verse.
The
and I'm
a
bury him with the second.
Ha. The champ is here.
Watch.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Hate is soft when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Y'all drop when they see what I do. I'm addicted to success. There's no rehab. Try to cure my addiction, I'll relapse. They want me to fall now and stop rap. You still hating on me? Homie, we off that. I got that you know new flow. Okay, let's go. Credentials so overweight that they call me sumo. Mr. Jones, nobody could ever hold this. My words soak through your veins. Call that shit osmosis. Number one greatest. All time hated. Still outspoken. I'm my all time favorite. Almost famous. Me, I'm never nameless. Unsigned hype. Ain't no other way to state this. Number one record, number one draftee, a one-man show, one-man army. Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see, man. Float like a butterfly, sing like me. Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Hate to talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Hate to talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do. Fresh, so straight back, no fiction. Number one spots, I don't like contradictions. Illest MC, Dr. Phil couldn't fix them. The answer to your problems, I 76 them. So what if they don't like me, I just stick to my agenda. If you ain't with me by now, I suggest that you surrender. A 2012, the haters and I end they conjectures. This ain't Monday Night Raw, I ain't no pretender. Break the unbreakable, do the impossible. Swag so unique, no one else can make it rockable. I'm highly unstoppable, beating me, that's improbable. Don't try to cut me off, see my style ain't blindly, try me, on top is where you find me. Fade away, haters like Jordan in the 90s. I'm like an underdog, your boy can't guard. Not even Michael Vick could keep me in his backyard. Thinking that you're better than me?
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me?
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Sit back and just watch. Hey, what's up, everybody? Man, welcome to the grind, the worst show ever. You know what this is, man. I'm your host, Jay McCray. I'm here with my co-host,
none other than Pam McCray, millionaire mompreneur. I tell you, we are fired up and excited in the McCray household. Great morning to everybody jumping on the grind. It is Friday.
And Friday.
Friday, yes, yes, and we hope that you can feel the energy, the passion, and the fire of today, because it's another day in which we all have the opportunity to make it our very best, and so we want to say thank you to everyone that's jumping on the grind. We truly appreciate our Blog Talk listeners. We're definitely getting this show live out there into the social media networks, but you know what? On this day, as we are wrapping up the Power and Partnership series that we've been doing over the last few episodes, we're truly excited to have you joining us this morning. And so we're going to close this thing out and let's get ready for the ride right on the grind this morning. So the Power Partnership. What?
Let's grind it out. We just went live on IG. Camera's dirty. So this is the realest ever, ladies and gentlemen. We're most certainly going to say some things on this show that some people don't like. We'll say some things on this show that people absolutely like and love. But that's how it is, guys. Can't please everybody. So we're going to try to please the people that are listening to us that are real. Share this out, ladies and gentlemen. If you're jumping on the radio, thank you for that. If you want to dial in live on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, then go ahead and dial in to 646-668-2564. Again, 646-668-2564. Hit the number one if you have a comment, guys, and you'll be able to actually express yourself live on the grind, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to come back and wrap this thing up a little bit. We're going to have the Power and Partnership finale right here, guys, on the grind. We're going to get into some juicy stuff. So tell somebody that's having a bad go with their relationship. Tell somebody that's having a good go with their relationship to jump on, man, because Nate and Pam McCray is on, and the grind is live and in full effect, man. See you guys in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a drill. It's time for you to speak what you want to see. And if you're with it, then repeat after me. Come on.
Every time I turn around, blessings, blessings. Every time I turn around, blessings on blessings. Every time I turn around, blessings, blessings.
Every time I turn around, man, they say there'll be blessings. Blessings on blessings on blessings, man. Welcome to the PIP finale. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Power and Partnership finale. I'm ex-military, man. So I put acronyms on everything, man.
Right?
That's what I do, man.
So welcome back,
everybody, man. Blessings on blessings. We want to get live on Instagram right quick. We're live on Facebook, man. Roll call. Thank you, everybody, for saying hello, man. It blesses our heart for you guys to pop on and say hello to us, man. We love the fact that you guys are here. What's going on, Ricky Blake? We see you out there, brother, on Facebook. What's going on, Mrs. Princessa Tavares? Great and amazing morning to you as well. Mr. Jeffrey Gathara?
Yeah.
All the way from Lufton, London, England, in the house. Welcome to you, sir. Thank you for being a part of the grind, the realest show ever. Ebgotit Dete. Blessings on blessings. Eb got it. Okay.
I'm thinking
that's the name, but blessings. Thank you for being on the grind. Tina Tompkins, good morning to you, young lady. Thank you for being a part. Teresa Perez, what's going on? Welcome for the grind. Thank you for being on. Thank you for tuning in. Mrs. Tamika Gregory, thank you guys for being a part of the grind. Welcome, man, to the realest show ever. We're going to wrap this thing up. Pam, you got a roll call over to anybody? Anybody?
Yeah. Great morning. Everybody jumping on IG, just going live. I see Hustle Squad all the way from right here in Vegas, right? We got Redefining the Future. I love
Hustle
it.
Hustle Squad.
All right. Fit Mom. Yep. 2423 was like lots. _96
IG be having those yeah, different kind of names.
Right, Brazil. I see y'all. Yeah. Great morning, everybody.
What's going on, Sasha Gabe Price out of Jamaica?
Good to have you all the way from Jamaica.
Welcome to the grind, man.
Great morning, everybody.
Man. We've been talking about some. I'm gonna say some amazing things, but we also talk about some crazy things. Yeah, we need to get that That multivitamin.
How do we do it? That's how we do it every day, right?
Let's get them shots going. Shot.
Thursday nights are always very, very long nights. And we wake up very early in order to do several calls before we get on this show. And so we're a little late on the Nutriverse. We need to get this going, right?
All right. We see you guys. Guys, put your comments in the chat. And most certainly, guys, we're going to. We'll shout you out. We'll say it, man. What's going on, Angela Say? Angela Say from Los Angeles.
Angela.
Welcome to the ground.
Angela.
Angela?
Yeah.
Okay. I always mess up names, man. What I do? I mess up names.
All right, Bridget. Great morning. Awesome.
Great morning to you guys, man. So we got 15 shots in. Repping Dallas, Texas today.
Yeah,
we ain't even
like
from
it.
Dallas, but we've been there before.
All right.
Shout out to Dallas. All right.
We good.
Shots are down. Man, so let's jump into this thing, man, because we're going to, I guess, review a little bit. We started this thing off last Tuesday.
Right.
And, man, we really got into some stuff talking about the power and partnership, talking about relationships. You know, when I say relationships, I really mean relationships like marriages and the boyfriend, girlfriend type thing, you know, those scenarios, you know, because we really got into a bunch of intimacy and things of that nature. Things got really good. Pam, what did we start at?
Oh my gosh! Well, I can tell you that, you know, kicking this thing off, we were just generally talking about, you know, relationships are harder now, and we've covered so many different topics over the last four episodes, to where, you know, we kicked this thing off just saying, you know, love is an action word, and you know it requires action, and is love enough, right? You know, that was the question of the day when we first kicked this thing off. Is love enough in a relationship? And we've covered to really say that, you know, the foundation is love, but, you know, in the very beginning of a relationship, when you first connect and meet, you know, it's really not love. It's lust, because the eyes see, the eyes like, but it's through the time and through the growth and through the communication and all the other things, you know, that really come together in order to strengthen a relationship, that you end up having that power in the partnership, you know,
right,
and being together. So we've talked about trust. We've talked about communication. We've talked about respect. We've talked about finances. We've talked about sex. We've talked about a little bit of everything, you know, over the course of these last couple episodes, to where we've really shared, you know, just different things that Nate and I have been through over the course of 31 years. And we, you know, really just wanted to really just talk to the world to let them know that it's a constant everyday mentality in order to strengthen the relationship, that, you know, it's, we have to work on ourselves and work on our relationship every single day in order to continue to strengthen it, so that we, number one, keep, you know, God first, you know, our family, our relationship, and everything else second. So we, you know, talked about mind, body, money, right? MBM, you know, and, you know, from the spiritual standpoint.
And what are your priorities?
Priorities,
when you,
right?
When
a lot.
You need somebody.
So you see, I can go on and on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, and that was a, and that was a really good one. We talked about that one too, because when you meet somebody, what are your priorities? What are you looking for?
Right.
Is it all about, you know, do they have a good mind? Is that something that has value for you?
Right.
Or is it just maybe you're a money driven person? You gotta have some money.
Right.
And, you know, and it's okay if they're a little crazy as long as they got some money.
Right.
I guess for some people. So everybody has their priorities. And the good thing about this show is that everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their likes and the things that move them forward. Right. As long as they're moving you forward into the destiny, to the destiny that God created you to be moving toward, then guys, everything is fine in that arena.
Right.
So we talked about so many things. We talked about really the translation. We gave like 10 different transitions of why relationships are actually harder now.
Right.
Right. Back in the day, it was just, I'm gonna call you on the house phone. Right. And we had that cord attached to the house phone, that mega long cord. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act
right,
like
right,
y'all
right.
don't.
That 25 foot
cord.
Oh,
you can take that thing all the way down the hallway
right.
and somebody can follow it to where you are and say, man, I need to use the phone. Can you get off the phone?
Right.
You know, I remember being on the phone with Pam with it stretched around. And that's when you had to actually pay.
Right.
For
and
minutes.
We used to pay for minutes. We used to fall asleep on the phone.
No,
don't
you
imagine
hang up.
It.
I'm hanging. No, you hang up. No, you hang up.
Right. Our parents did not like us, I'm sure,
because that
was when MCI, you had to pay for the minutes, and oh my gosh, Nate and I would have the nerve to fall asleep on the phone.
Okay. The phone, man. You know, and our parents used to hate it, but you know, those were the things that happened back in the day, and relationships were easy then, because it was just a one-on-one thing. All of the access to all of the other nonsense wasn't there. It wasn't prevalent.
You
had to physically go out. You had to physically, you know, look each other in the eye and say, you know, I love you. You know, you had to physically, you know, there wasn't all of this sexting and texting. Yeah, I said sexting. Sexting, texting. It wasn't all of these voicemails.
And the influence of social media. None
of
that.
None
of
that. So things were easy. Then it was like, you know, boy meets girl, you know, I hit you on the head, take you home to meet mom and daddy. You know, that's kind of how that happened, you know. But back in the day, it was so easy and we loved it. But things transitioned.
Yeah.
Right. We could, back in the day, men can go out and we were the real hunters. Right. We would go out and we would see something that we liked and we would like, man, I want to holler at her. You know, and the conversation started and it was a face to face thing.
Right.
You could see how I look when I said things. Now you can't anymore. So it's just like I can say it and text it. And you got to figure out what I mean by the emoticons that I actually put on that face. You know,
right.
So the transition, man, started to come up. I talked about conversation and texting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I talked about that. That was the first transition that kind of made relationships harder.
Yeah.
We talked about arguments became phone calls. Right. So I'm just call you on the phone and argue with you. Remember, you used to argue in person.
Right.
You know, you can see the person. And I remember when Pam and I used to argue way back in the day. You know, my thing was I never wanted to argue.
No, he didn't. I would have to really push Nate.
She would be like
real.
She would be like the monkey on the keyboard, just pressing buttons.
Nate is one of those men that, you know, he doesn't like argument. He'll just remove himself from the situation. So, and I always knew that. But I was that one that would just pick at them. Just I knew exactly what buttons to push. Ladies, you know how we know the buttons to push? And I would push every single button that I could possibly push until, you know, until I would push him over the edge. And once I would push him over the edge, because he'd be like, listen, I don't want to talk about this or whatever. Once I would push him over the edge, and then he would, but Nate's thing was he would just leave. Okay, he was like, I'm just gonna leave. All right,
I would try.
So I would try to leave. Then when he's trying to leave, I'm trying to stop him. I'm like, no, we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna talk about this now. Like, right?
Take him the keys and throw him in the trash can.
You ain't going nowhere around here. Okay.
It was funny.
But it was funny. But then when Nate would finally leave, if I took the keys, Nate would just go walking. Okay. It's like I'm getting
gotta
away
cool
from this crazy
down.
Lady
yeah, you know.
from New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so literally, but then once I would push him over the edge, then I would be calling him like, okay, can we just talk about this?
You want to be rational.
He's done. Okay, yeah. He's done for at least a minute. Okay, because I don't push him over the edge, and it would take a minute for him to come back.
And it takes that sometimes.
But, yeah.
Sometimes you have to just remove yourself from the situation because, you know, it's never been my heart to hit Pam. Never thought about that. You know, there's some times I wanted to push her real hard, you know, but I never thought about hitting her. But it gets to that point where you have to remove yourself.
Right.
But Pam would push those buttons. And then when I didn't go, I'm like, you push the button. Okay. You got me now.
Right.
Okay, so now
I'm there. Now what?
Now you done. Now you done.
Now I'm like, okay, can we work this out?
So now
and
let's
he's
talk.
Like, no, I'm done now.
Let's talk about it now. Now, when I talk about it, I can be a verbal assassin, right? So let's talk. And now you don't want to talk no more. She gets real quiet. So now she don't want to talk, right? So now you voiced your opinion. I just didn't want to talk about it. I just wanted to leave. And I could understand, but that wasn't the right thing to do.
Right.
I shouldn't have just wanted to leave. But ladies, gentlemen. There is no respect to person in this. It's not what you say.
It's how you say it.
Communication has got to be laced
gotta
with
be
love.
Right? It really does. And, you know, it's crazy because Nate and I, we've been through all of that stuff. We've been through it. We've been through so much. And now, you know, at 31 years later, we don't argue. You know, we got all our arguing out.
We disagree.
We don't agree on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, because we're totally opposite, okay?
Tell you what Pam will do. Pam will call me and say, well, what do you think I should do about this? And then I tell her, well, I think you should do this, do that. But if I do that, what if I – but why do you think I should do that? And I tell her why. And she'd be like, you know, at the end of the conversation is going to be, well, I'm going to just do this. And I'm like, well, why you call me?
Right.
You know?
Why you even asking?
She wanted my opinion, so I just give my opinion. And at the end, what I normally say, baby, just do what you want to do.
Right.
You know,
right.
Whatever you feel you
whatever
should
you
do,
feel
do it because you got to live with it.
Right. Exactly. So we agree to
disagree.
Many times, but we don't argue. And it's funny because our children have never seen us in an argument, like never. Like, right, even when we used to argue back in the day, our kids never, we made it a point that they would never see us disagree like that. So now when we go back and forth in conversation, we're like, well, no, I think we should do this way. They think we're arguing. They're like, why? We're like, we're not arguing. We're just having a conversation. Trust me, you all ain't never seen us argue, right?
but
it's funny because we just never wanted our children to you know, see, you know, any of that. We wanted them to, you know, see the relationship in a positive way as much as possible. But
and let's stay there for a second because, you know, what people have to, because we're gonna get into these other ones real quick and really revamp. So you have to really think about what she just said. She said we never wanted our kids to see us. You have to realize when you have kids, guys, the kids are very impressionable.
Right.
Very. You may not be as an adult, but kids are.
Yeah.
They may not. They may be over there writing on the board and playing with blocks, but they hear
and see
everything.
Yes, they
right.
Do.
Nothing escapes them, and then you don't know it until they regurgitate it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what you say or what you do when you're talking to your spouse, you know, your kids hear that.
Yeah.
And they're really just learning because they're blank slates.
Right.
They don't know.
Right.
So if whatever you say and do, so if you curse, You can't get mad at them when they curse
right.
in public, right?
Right. They've never heard.
Yeah, you can't
curse.
Yeah.
Well, we were never curses anyway.
You know,
so
we say them Christian curses. Like, damn well, and hell.
So when we repeat something or we might say something that somebody said, they're like, huh? Did you? I'm like, all I'm saying is what was said. Okay, I'm
right.
not.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's just what we've done. You know.
So
what
kids
I mean?
Are impressionable.
Yeah, they
and
are.
And it is, and it's just how we've raised our kids, and you know they don't see us do that. So if they pick up those habits, it's not from home.
No.
Right? So
from
it
the
always
influence
says,
of social media.
Yeah. You guys have heard that. You guys have heard the
relationships are harder now.
Harder now. You guys heard the scripture
right.
that says train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're older, they won't stray. That doesn't mean that they're never going to do wrong.
Oh,
that
right.
means that they have a foundation.
Absolutely.
That they can stand on to say, well, you know, when all else is done, I may go out and do this, this, and this, but I know what I should do.
Absolutely.
Because
I've
been taught.
Right. And we're perfect examples of that. When they and I got together, both of us had a very strong foundation growing up, you know, in Christianity. I'm not going to say my but just being Christian, our parents instilled that into us, you know,
right.
Taught it to us. And so when we got together, and we was running, we were like, listen, tired of church.
I'm tired of Bible studies.
All of you. We're like, we tired of Bible studies, and for real. But and we ran, and
we like
we ain't doing none of this. But you know what?
Wait. We used to church like 3 times a day on Sunday, and I used to get so mad. I used to be in the car, and I'm like, I just want to go home. And my parents would say, well, let's go. We're going to churches. And I'm like, we're going to some more churches? We just left church. And they'd be like, boy, we're going to get some chicken. That's always churches
oh
chicken.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I can't go, but we will go to morning service. And then you take a break, get a snack. And no, it was Sunday school. Take a break, get a snack, go to morning service. And then you have... if you're a big church, we want a big church. Then you have a second service
right.
that if you real gung ho,
right.
you stay for the second service
right.
too because you didn't get the word in the first service.
Right.
Even though they're saying the same thing,
right.
spirit moves different in the second service. I guess.
Right, absolutely.
Right? So after that, you go home, take a break. You got to come back at 7 o'clock
right.
for
right.
some more service.
Right.
Man, I was burnt out.
Yeah, that's how it
was.
I mean, for real, we, you know, that's how it was. It was church on, you know, and then it was youth meetings, and it was
church school conference.
But anyway, but we, you know, we said all that to say that, literally, you know, when we got together, we were just like, okay, freedom, freedom. But you know what? It's so true. You train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it because it was instilled into us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could only run for so long because it was the foundation that we had. And, you know, and then we began to realize the importance of having a relationship. Never been about church for us because we understood that it was that we are the church.
Right.
And the example that we lead and live, the life that we live,
why is
what matters,
like
what matters the most. So we've been, Nate and I have been through a lot together, even in ministry, so many different things that has really helped us to grow too. I mean, we've been deacons in the church. We've been
Lord,
Nate,
this guy, anyway.
Nate was praise team leader, y'all. Nate was praise team leader.
Feelings became.
It's a part of our relationship. That's true.
No, let's not get on the church thing. Let's move on. Feelings became because right now it's some preachers out there that's
right.
putting out some bad stuff on us. Feelings
we won't go there.
Became subliminal messages.
Right, absolutely.
Right? And I will say this. Let me say this, and I'll end it on the other thing, what Pam just said before we move on. My best friend, he's a bishop. He wrote a book called The Church in Compromise.
Amazing book.
I would tell you guys to go out and grab that book. It's on Amazon, right? Go grab it. It's called The Church in Compromise. It's by Bishop Jeff Battle. And I'm not being biased, but it is a great book. It really talks about the struggles of the modern day church and the transitions that have been made. And it really is an eye-opening book. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out and it'll explain a lot of what we've been through and what we know and things of that nature.
Right.
So feelings became subliminal messages. So there goes the, when your feelings are hurt, you do certain things. That kind of still happens, but it happens even more now.
Right.
Even a subliminal message now to amplify because it happens on social media.
Right.
It happens on, you know, on video when people can get on a video with, on the World Wide Web and they can subliminally try and thrash.
Right. Right.
Right. It's like, well, I know I have this friend, you know, that has blonde hair and you know, has braces, you know, and I'm not gonna call no names.
Right.
You know, but they drive an Audi. You know, it's just the subliminal messages are there.
Right.
And people can use those messages. So
absolutely.
So feelings became subliminal messages. You can't just, you're not just now talking to people, right, face to face, saying, you know, this is how I feel about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is how this makes me feel.
Yeah, try to figure it out.
Try and figure it out so the person can say, you know what, well, you know, I apologize. I'm sorry you feel that way. I only did it because of this, this, and this. And now that I know how you feel, you know, I strive not to do that anymore, right? So, boom, it's over. But when the subliminal messages start coming, it's kind of hard to come back from that because now you're reaching out. My dad always told me, he said, son, and this is probably one of the reasons why I'm so mellow now. He said, son, he said, you know, you're going to go through a lot of battles.
Right.
And you're going to be faced with the opportunity to fight a lot of battles in life.
Right.
He said, be sure to choose the ones first that you have the greatest opportunity of winning.
Right.
He said, work with those first. And then you've gotten your strength up to tackle the other ones. And typically in time, things come around and things typically aren't what you thought they were.
Right.
And since we're on that, we'll give you guys a tip in the first part of this thing. One of the things that Pam and I learned early in our relationship, and this is going to bless somebody, okay? Things that happen in the heat of the moment that day, they happen and you feel some kind of way about them.
Right.
Right. So it's like it may piss you off. That's Pam's new word.
Right.
Pisses me off. Right.
Right?
So
me off.
Yeah. So it may piss you off and your emotions are high. So the first thing you do is you pick the phone up, you know, and you become a thumb thug. You start telling everybody in the free world that you know about what such and such just did. And so now you've text that out to 50 people in the distribution, put it on social media, and now you wake up the next day and things aren't really as bad as you thought they were.
Right.
So now my dad always say, son, when you tell your business to people in the heat of the moment, what happens is the more people you involve in your business when things are bad, the more people you're going to have to get out of your business when things are good.
That's right.
So don't tell people things like personal things that happen because they do two things. They form an opinion of your relationship.
Yes, they do.
And they form an opinion of the person that you are talking about. And it's hard to get that out of their mind.
Right,
now.
When you work it out.
Yeah, you're like, well, man, that wasn't even bad. It was a misunderstanding.
Right.
You may have said, man, I called it. That Joe did this and did that. Or she did this and did that. Now, they done already deleted her from their friends list.
Right,
you know,
right.
They done already said, hey, we ain't never going out with him no more.
Right.
You see, so
that's
now
true.
You're like, no. It wasn't that bad. No, don't. But you put them in it. So don't involve.
Now I agree with
other
that.
People that, in your relationship.
And that was something that was one of the greatest gifts of wisdom that Dad gave us, like for real.
Yeah.
Because that's something that you have to know in order to keep your relationship strong. You cannot go out and just, you know, tell the world, you know. And it's crazy because social media is one of those things in which people just blast all the negative feelings on, and you're right. You're letting the world know what's going on, and now you know you gotta figure out a way
to get them out. Now y'all lovey dovey again. Y'all
right.
all
and
hugged
everybody
up,
looking
and everybody looking at you. It was a myth. Now you got it. Now you gotta put out a rebuttal text.
Right.
You know.
Right.
He ain't that. It did not just a misunderstanding.
I didn't mean that. No,
y'all
no,
now
no.
y'all booed up, and
right.
they were like,
right.
look
at
her.
Like,
look at her with him. Like
they
nothing wrong.
They looking at him or her.
Right.
Either way.
Either way.
Like they crazy. Like all of y'all crazy. Like
why they still. Why she still with him? Why he still with her?
Right.
You have to get them out of your business.
Absolutely.
So don't add them in. Things aren't always as bad as they were, guys. When you wake up the next day, it's a different life.
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And you've had the opportunity to talk, and you realize how much you love them.
Communication.
Right. Right. Sex became easy. We talked about that extensively. We got on this subject, and we got a lot of questions about sex at this juncture in the thing. And you know, and we answered them all. And it was a learning and eye-opening experience for everybody, right? Sex became easy because everybody's offering sex now, right? So that means, you know, you can go out into the free world, and sex isn't something that, you know, is held up at high esteem now, right? Everybody's showing everything. Everybody's giving everything away. You can get the milk without buying the cow now. It doesn't even matter. So walk away. Okay, good to go.
It's,
you know,
all over social
like
media.
Like DMX said, you got everything. You, I got me. You know, but that may have been happening since the beginning of time, but it wasn't as prominent. It wasn't as prominent then as it is now. People actually tried to hide things, or there was a lot of discretion when it came to doing something like that because people considered the cost.
Right.
You know, now they don't consider the cost.
No.
So,
No, you're right. They don't consider the cost, and it is what it is. And just like you said, just revealed all over social media. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just relationships are harder now, and it's just crazy on the things that go on, you know, on social media with just how, you know, it's just become normal to be naked and to be, you know, to just do whatever on social media. So where is the I don't know.
Sex,
don't,
drugs, and rock and roll, they say. Sex sells, and to be honest with you guys, sex is going to sell to the end of time.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's prophesied that it's going to. That's just how it happens. You just have to make a conscious decision of how you want to build it, right?
Right.
How you build it is how you have to maintain it.
Right.
So
how you get it is how you're going to, right.
Right. If
you
I go
can't
out.
Be mad at the energy that you put out is the energy you're going to get.
But people always look, people look at Pam and I and be like, well, y'all been together since y'all were babies. So y'all don't really know, you know, what goes on out here. Y'all, you know, y'all old, you know, and this and that. You can say all you want. But at the end of the day, the game didn't change, just the players.
Right.
And every decade that comes about, every cycle that happens of generations, the game doesn't change.
Right.
It's just the players that change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, even the old people, they up on sex. They may not know all of the nasty stuff that goes on, you know, the new things that happen. But you don't need to know the new stuff that happens in order to have a foundation
right.
of what's right. And what's wrong, what lasts and what doesn't, what's strong and what's weak, right? So, you know, when we look at where we've been, Pam and I have been through a lot in 51 years, not just in our relationship, you know, and truth be told, it's not like we've been through a bunch of bad things at all in our relationship, you know, just normal stuff.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, Pam and I have been through a lot as in general in a lifetime. People won't know for me. I've been like even in the industry where we've been in there 25 plus years, right? We've been doing it for a long time. People don't understand that, you know, I went to the military right out of high school, fought in a war, you know, and in the 4 years I was in the military and saw a lot of things that I probably should not have seen, didn't want to see and don't ever want to see again, right? So I've seen a lot of things. We've been through a lot because we've both been counselors of people and we both understand the concept of secrecy and privacy,
right?
We understand one of the things that we always swore was when we actually talked to somebody, you know, in counseling is that it was always a closed loop,
right?
What did you talk to us about? Then we made sure that it never got out. If you got out, then it didn't come from us,
right?
So just so you know, people understood that, and people want to open up to you when that's the case, because the problem with secrets and the problem with when you share private things with people is the loop tends not to be closed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has somebody that they want to tell something, and you're not always the other person.
Right.
Right. So if I tell Pam something, right? If I tell Pam something, and I'm not Pam's confidant, she has somebody else that she wants to tell it. Then she tells them, and then if she's not, there's no closed loop there. They have somebody that they trust that they want to tell. So that thing just keeps going, and going, and before long, you're going out somewhere and people looking at you sideways.
Right. And that's so true. You know, it's crazy, but it's true. It's just how people operate. You know, even in our industry, it seems like a big industry, but it's a very small industry. You know, somebody will tell one person one thing and you look up and everybody in the industry knows about it.
Here's the key to that, and then we're gonna move to the next one.
So what's done in the dark always comes to the light. Okay.
But here's the thing though. If I really want, if I'm really going to assess somebody based on whether or not I want to be around them or not, or whether or not I want to do things with them, I'm not going to listen to what somebody else told me about them.
Right.
Now, I'm not, that's if I want to be around you. Right? If I want to be around you, you can tell me something else about somebody. Doesn't mean I believe it. It's just what you said.
Right.
Right? And it doesn't affect me one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Right. But if I want to be around you, if I got to do things with you and we got to commune together, then I need to, I'm going to ask you. Oh, well, I mean, what I've heard was this or that. Because I believe you owe that person that is, and not to not sit there and make an assertion about something that that person has not had the opportunity to defend themselves.
Right.
Because
absolutely.
Just because somebody says it does not mean it's true, right? So you have to take everything with a grain of salt, right?
I think that's the real unfortunate piece in the world is that, you know, a lot of times people don't use that type of judgment. They just believe whatever mm-hmm. somebody else is saying and they run with it, you know. But again, I think communication, just like you said, communication is the key, you know, on really understanding and not allowing somebody else's judgment to be inflicted upon you is very important in any type of relationship.
Now, there's character in there.
Yes, yeah.
There's character absolutely. In there because if somebody, I'm going to give you a great example. If somebody is, somebody say, well, I don't know if I want to use this example.
Stay on
I'm going to use it. You
point.
Know what? This is the realest show ever, man. I'm not shying away from it. If somebody says, and I'm going to use this lady, so take it with a grain of salt. Don't get emotional.
Uh-oh.
If somebody says she sleeps around and they tell me that, oh, she sleeps with everybody. And I'll be like,
hey, that's okay.
Go vice versa. And vice versa. But I'm using this example
okay.
for a reason, right?
Okay, gotcha.
So if I say, somebody said, oh, she sleeps around, she sleeps with everybody. And when I see you all the time, you it's like, look like you do that. I may say, well, I won't put it past them. I don't know for sure.
Right.
But it seems like it could be some truth what's being said. But because you're not above reproach now.
Right,
so
yeah.
That means you're not. So now somebody says, you know, oh, yeah, she sleeps with everybody. All right. I'm not lashing to talk about anybody in particular. Okay. She sleeps with everybody. And then you look at him and be like, you talk to him and they're locked up. Some people, whatever. God just don't see that as being there. That's called being above reproach.
Right.
Right. So if somebody says something about Pam and I, right, being above, or somebody says something about you, what are you doing character wise and integrity wise to bring yourself into that above reproach realm? Like, you
right.
can say it, but the vast majority of the people are going to say, that's not them.
Right.
That's not them. That's not something
well,
that
absolutely.
I believe they would do.
It has a lot to do with the image that you put out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, and the character. You know, because obviously what's on the inside of a person is always going to come to the outside. And so, you know, when you realize that, then, you know, you're able to be able to, you know, relate to people differently, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, we're not here to judge people or anything like that on here on this earth, but you're
right.
able to make good decisions in relationships, I
Absolutely.
Should say, you know, and being able to, you know, further whatever the relationship is meant to be to move it forward. You
so
know?
somebody asked, did I retire in the military? And the answer is no.
Nah. Oh,
yeah.
No. After that
out.
War?
I got out after I got
done.
Shot at a number of times.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Figured,
Nate
okay,
was on the front line.
Yeah. I don't need a whole bunch of prompting and signs. This is just fine.
No. Nate was it was either them or him. That was his type
and
of situation.
I always said that people think everybody joins the military because they want to go fight for their country. Guys, I'm here to tell you that couldn't be further from the truth. Okay. There are a handful of people that are just gung ho that say, I'm ready to go out there and fight for my country. But when you start interviewing and talking to people, they're like, man, shoot, I'm just a job. I'm coming here to learn a skill set because that's what the military gives you, to give you a skill set,
mm-hmm.
right? So give you a skill set, and the skill set is, this is what I know how to do, and you can take that skill set and apply into the real world, right?
So now I've got another question, and that is good because, you know, this can even tie into relationships and what we're talking about because, shit, you see our question? She wants to know.
Did I get PTSD? I believe that I had PTSD before I even went to the military. I think that a lot of you got PTSD. Because we have to understand the term, guys. It's post-traumatic stress syndrome disorder. Okay? Okay, let's just understand what this is. It's not just related to the military. Okay? Did you get PTSD? The answer is I had PTSD, and I believe all of y'all probably got some PTSD too.
Yeah, but you know what? Know. Real talk, though, you battle some stuff. You know,
I mean, not
bad,
but
oh,
here's the
gosh.
Thing. Everybody battles stuff
yeah,
in a different way.
Stuff that you wouldn't have gone through, and this was things that.
But
we
I see,
to
I don't want to stereotype it.
Right? No.
I don't want because it's not just about military people. Yeah, military. It's who you shine a light on the most.
Right.
Is who gets the stage.
Right.
So I want you guys to understand. It does. The question doesn't upset me, but I understand it differently. Okay.
Right.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. Is any trauma, anything that has traumatized you in life
from something that you've been through.
Some of you have been through relationships, bad relationships. Some of you have parents that did things that have traumatized you, and now you can't shake that. So a lot of things happen. It's just not right. It's just not being. It's just not being shed a light on. So people think that term is just military, and it's not. So the answer is. I think I had PTSD before I went to the military. Did the military probably contribute to me going to the war? Did it enhance that? Probably yes.
It did.
After the military, have I been through some other traumatic things? Yes. So it affects you. It does. So we have to all understand what that really, really means, right? That's right. I tell them to try CBD tea, but
they can take the one.
Exactly. Right. When you start telling somebody to do something that's going to help them, they get real pharmaceutical on you.
Right.
Let me see what's in that,
Let's
you know, but they'll roll right through the McDonald's window and get that food and not ask what's in it. Not whatsoever.
Right. That's true.
So anyway, I love that. Those are good questions.
Yes. Great questions.
The word love is used out of context. We know that's kind of self-explanatory, guys. You love kind of like tell somebody you love them in the midst of an argument, it stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love you.
I love you.
All too. Of a sudden, I ain't even mad at you no more. But the issue's still there. Let's talk about why you leave your dirty drawers and clothes stroll all around the house. Girl, you know I love you. I love the fact that you pick up my dirty drawers. I love you. All of a sudden, makes picking up dirty drawers glorious. He loved me for that. But it still bothers you.
Right, you're not talking about it. Absolutely. You got to communicate. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't communicate what's happening, then you're going to have this stuff just rev up on the inside of you, and then one day you're going to explode.
It comes back out of the next argument.
Right.
And you still leaving your dirty drawers around. But I told you I love you, so you mean you don't like picking up my dirty drawers?
Oh, my God.
Address the issue. So
yeah,
love is taken is used out of context.
Yeah, many
so,
times. Absolutely.
Yeah, communicate. Mm-hmm. So we're getting to all of this. And we asked the question in the beginning, is love enough?
Right.
And we said, you know, love is a great foundation, but it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things you got to do
to
enhance that love,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're not talking about that agape love, okay? Because I know some of y'all are getting slick. Another agape love, you got to love people, period. I love everybody. I do. My Bible commands me to love everybody. So I love y'all. I love everybody. I just don't like some of the stuff that people do.
Right.
So it has nothing to do with the love. Insecurities became a way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's self-explanatory. We talked about that, the insecurities and what they come from,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, from the inside. You know, those are inside feelings that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when, again, everything in a relationship as far as growing, building, the foundation, you know, on top of love you got to have that communication. You know, if you learn how to communicate with one another, and Nate and I, we talked about, you know, in the very beginning of our relationship, you know, we had to really grow to communicate with each other, you know, because he would keep things in, I would keep things in, and therefore, you know, it would result in arguments because one day we would just eventually, you know, explode. But when we learned how to communicate with each other and we understood that you know, in a relationship, for us to be in our relationship and to have a partnership, that we had to have that open communication to be able to express our feelings with one another. That's when things began to really just grow in our relationship, to where we got ourselves to the point to where we don't argue, you know, 31 years later. We just, you know, we don't agree on everything because we're opposite, but we come together and we know how to handle the different situations that we go through in life together, you know, really. Yeah, for real.
And the communication piece is good. It's important.
Yeah.
And I remember in the beginning, we talked about this on our previous show, that I didn't want to communicate in the beginning.
Right.
I was like,
Pam
started talking, and I'd be like, I just don't say nothing.
Right.
And the more she talks, the more the wall goes up. Okay. It's like, she talking, I'm sitting there like, because some of the stuff that she was saying was true.
Right.
Right. And I didn't want to hear it because I still wanted to do the things that I wanted to do.
Right.
She's talking, and the wall's going up. And as soon as the wall got up where she couldn't see me, that's when I got up and walked out, right? So when I did that, it wasn't communication, and Pam would get so mad at me. She was like, "Why aren't you saying anything?"
Yeah,
you know. And I was just, but on the inside, I was so mad because I thought that I was like, "Man, I want to be able to do this, this, and this. I should be able to do this, this, and that." And the stuff she was saying, I didn't know was right until, you know, a year or so down the road when I started to realize some things, guys. You know, I didn't just come out knowing things. Everybody has to go through some things.
Right.
And so I would get up and leave, you know, and walk out, and it would make Pam it would frustrate her so bad because when
then
I
don't
left,
answer my call.
Yeah, she would call me, and I'm like, I don't want to deal with it, you know, and this and that. And so it got crazy. But at the end of the day, when I started to communicate, then now it's like, now I'm communicating everything. I'm like, man, don't wear that bonnet to bed. That ain't sexy. Don't wear that.
Right.
I'd be like, why you got all them clothes on? Don't put them on. You know, and she'd be like, dog, boy, you don't hold. I'm like, no, you need to know, you know, what I like, what I don't like.
Absolutely.
I need to know what you like, what you don't like. And, you know, and Pam, she's telling me, she's done, well, what about it because of this? I say, well, get a different kind of this. Do this and do that. Get your silk pillowcase.
Yeah, you got to learn. You know? Yes, you have to listen to your spouse, you know, what they want. That's the only way for the relationship to grow. And you're right. Right? I don't wear bonnets on my head, okay? I went to the silk pillowcase. Okay?
I want to be able to wake up and roll my fingers through hell.
Like, seriously, if that bothers, you have to know what your spouse, your mate, what do they like? If not, you're going to end up, instead of building a relationship and a partnership and growing, you're going to end up pushing each other away. So, and it's through time that you learn each other, and it's the communication piece that has to happen. And most of the time, when the communication is not happening, that's when the arguments happen. So now that's why we could say 31 years later, you know, what's the sense of an argument? I mean, let's discuss this. Let's iron this thing out. Let's see if we can come to terms on this. And, you know, if we can't come to terms on it, then, you know, we'll just table that thing. I'm going to make a decision and I'm just going to go for it, or Nate's going to make a decision and he's going to go for it. But together, because this is a we mentality, we're going to, whether if it's successful, we own the success together. Mm-hmm. If it's a failure, we own the failure together. But we discussed it, and we don't have a relationship where it's I told you so. I told you that wasn't gonna work. We just never have been that way. If we win, then wonderful. If we fail, then you know what? How are we gonna fix this? Okay, this is what it is. It is what it is. Because it's a partnership, and so therefore we own everything together. Realizing that neither one of us are perfect, but together we can come together and work on ourselves together. We keep our individual mindsets, but we're unified. We're together in a relationship. And so you can't lose yourself in a partnership, in a relationship, but yet you understand that when you come together, that is where the power is. And so we've always had a we mentality, and that is the reason why we've had, and just the different things that we go through, you know, in situations, you know, when people try to separate us, it's not a good thing. Okay, it's just not a good thing. And that has been one of our battles, you know, just in general.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah,
all right.
So Jamise has a good question. She said, what caused you to shift and open communication? What caused you to shift and open communication? For me, it wasn't, you know, and it's tough in the beginning, you know, when you get married as young as we did, sometimes you don't have an understanding of what that really, really means.
Right.
And I think if I had to sum it up in a sentence, in marriage, there is still accountability.
That's good.
Okay. There's still accountability. I did not want to be accountable. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to have to tell Pam where I was going. I didn't want to have to come home at 12 o'clock. I ain't want a curfew, right? There's certain things I did not want to do, but I was young. I didn't understand. And ladies, this is and gentlemen, all right, no bias. These are questions that or scenarios you need to present to the person that you may be interviewing, right? To be spend the rest of your life with, uh-huh. Right? You need to know what it is. Understand how they feel about certain things. You know, what are your deal breakers? Because, you know, Pam and I, we really didn't, we honey dripped a lot on the phone, you know, but we didn't talk about a whole bunch of marital stuff.
Right.
Right. I mean, we were young.
Right.
It was 19 and 20. You know, we were just, all I saw was a fine girl that I wanted to, I liked the conversation. She had a sexy voice. I'm like, yeah, let's go. I was a boy. I didn't know. So when we got married, I'm like, shoot, I still wanted to be a boy. I still wanted to go do what I did. All Pam knew what females learn and what males learn are different.
Yeah.
Right? Women are told, you gotta find you a good man and get you some kids. That's it. That's what women are told.
And security,
right?
We want to be taken care of.
Let me change that. Buy you a good man with a job, you know, and get you some kids, have y'all some kids together. And when you're told that, then that's what you go for. And that's what Pam did. So we talked about a lot of things, and we didn't talk about, you know, whether or not I was going to be accountable or whether or not she was going to be accountable. You know, those things we didn't talk about, right? And that's why we have shows like this, so you guys can know and understand, you know, the things that we went through. And be transparent so somebody can help bridge a gap and not go through it, you know. And I didn't want to be accountable. I didn't. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And it wasn't, you know, it was innocent stuff. I still wanted to hang out. I still wanted to drink with the fellas. You know, I still wanted to, you know, get up and leave when I wanted to. You know, mm-hmm. Pam was like, hey, where you at?
I'm right.
Like, I went down to the store. Oh, why you tell me you was leaving? I'm like, I ain't know you was my mama. I left my mama at home. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't right. It was when I realized it. It was when it was like an epiphany to me when I realized that in marriage we all have our own individuality, but there is still accountability.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a pertinent question that you should ask a person, male or female. You know, in this relationship, are you willing to be accountable? I'm not lord over you. Pam does what she wants to do when she wants to do it.
Right.
I don't govern Pam. When Pam wants to go and get in her car and leave, you know, Pam just, hey, babe, I'm going down such and such. I was like, all right, you know, and she goes. Same with me.
Right.
You know, so I think the accountability piece is just giving the person respect enough to say, you know, this is what I'm doing. It's not what I want to do. You only say this is what I want to do when it's going to affect the family unit.
Absolutely.
Because it takes both of us to make that decision. I can't say, hey, look, I want to go down and, you know, get us this day. I want to get this vacation. Say, I'm going to go get this vacation down to Fiji, you know, and we're going to stay there for 2 weeks. I'm not just going to dictate that for the family. I mean, I'm going to present it to her and say, baby, this is what I would like to do. Well, tell me what you feel about this.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So, and I think it gets that. I think as men, we get that thing to where we think that it's our way or the highway,
mm-hmm.
right? If I say it and I'm the head, then that's what you got to do. You know, and slavery is abolished.
No, that's good. Yeah. That's real good. And I just add to this, you know, when you talk about that accountability piece, you know, it comes from respect, you know, respecting one another. But I could truly say too, you know, just to add to that question, when Nate and I got married, we always had the mindset that our relationship was going to be forever. Okay, therefore, because we had the foundation of love, that was all we had in the beginning. We didn't have nothing to rub together, two nickels. We say we didn't have two nickels to rub together. It was from the foundation of having that love that we added everything else, because we say love is not enough. You got to have some other pieces that's going to really create that bond.
When she says love, the foundation wasn't money.
Right.
The foundation wasn't physical.
Right.
The foundation was a mental thing. It was
right.
A heart lock.
Right.
You know, it was love. That's what she means when she said that. Because your foundation is money. Love is not going to stop when y'all don't got money.
Right.
It's not going to help.
Right, that's true. And so because, you know, with that mindset, we had that mindset, even though we went and I tried to pack my bags in the beginning. I really wasn't going anywhere. But I was trying to prove a point, okay? but for real, because we had that mindset, that mindset is what carried us through every single challenge that we went through. Many of the things that would have torn up a relationship, we were able to overcome it because we knew that we were together forever. And so we needed to figure it out. And how did we do it? We had to begin to communicate. Yeah.
So have the conversation with your spouse, you know, or, you know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, you're interviewing, because that is the interview process, just for the record. You know, have the pertinent, the real conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Know what the deal breakers are. And this is stuff that Pam and I didn't do. We learned the hard way.
We learned in process.
It was on the job training for us. And some of you, it's the same thing, right? Some of you are going through it right now, right? You're learning. But, you know, sit down and have a conversation. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. You know, I don't like to do this. I don't like to do that. You know, revamp it. Start over again. You may have been together for a long time, but for that long time, you know,
the daily work.
Yeah, for the long time, you may need to sit down and have that conversation with your spouse, because you're telling everybody on the outside that I know him or I know her and we're great together. But when the door is closed, you guys suck together. You're not good, but you want the world to think that you are, right? And it's not about what the world thinks, right? It's about what you guys feel together.
Right.
So if the love happens on the inside, if the things are fixed on the inside, then the outside is going to take care of itself, right? And I love, one of my favorite quotes is, if there is no enemy within, then the enemy on the outside can do you no harm.
Absolutely.
So stop worrying about so much. We call it being house broke, right? You got a nice house, but you can't afford to buy furniture for the inside of it, right? You got a nice car, but you can't afford to get the oil changed, right? You know, so figure out how to fix the inside,
mm-hmm.
and the outside will take care of itself.
That's good. That's real good.
So getting jealous became a habit.
Mm-hmm.
That's about normal. That. Trust mm-hmm. is hard to come by.
That trust piece is everything, right?
Yep.
In a relationship.
There's a part of those wheels wobbling. You know, trust is hard to come by, because when the wheels start to wobble and you don't address the issues and figure out what's going on, then guess what? The wheels eventually fall off,
and now you're right. Looking back, trying to figure out how to put them back on. But if you pay attention while the wheels are wobbling and listening to one another, or seeing the actions, okay, that are happening in a relationship, then those wheels won't fall all the way off, and you're able to fix them, you know, while they're wobbling, because trust is earned; it's not given.
Mm-hmm.
So it's through the actions that are done, you know, in a relationship that continue the trust, you know, that's going to be one of the very key components that's necessary for the relationship to thrive and to keep on going. So it's very powerful.
So let's talk about, we got a couple more to get through. Let's talk about the key components, the practicality of of trust and communication,
mm-hmm.
Because we can fluff it all day long and make it sound good, but sometimes it doesn't feel good when you don't trust someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the communication piece is key. Telling people why you don't trust them. That's one part. This is why I don't trust you. Or the communication piece into when the wheels start to wobble and things start to happen, that's when you guys start to fall apart, right? So if there's certain things, the two things that kill a relationship the quickest is sex and money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you don't like what your spouse is doing with the money, then communicate that to them.
Absolutely.
Say, this is why, you know, this is why I'm feeling the way that I feel. This is why I don't trust you, you know, when it comes to money, because of this. And this is why. And it's how you say it, not what you say. So when you start saying that and you communicate, and they should be open, because communication is not it's not it's reciprocal.
Right.
It's not just one way. So you got to be willing to receive. So listen to each other and figure out a solution for it, for that part. So even down to sex, well, I don't want to have sex with you anymore because of this or that. You know, the thing that attracted you to that person, you know, physically, guys, and let's just keep it 100. You know, sex is a physical thing, right? It's an aesthetic thing. It's physical. If there's something that has caused you to fall out of attraction and stop being attracted to your spouse, it needs to be communicated, right? If you still love that person and you want to be with them, it needs to be communicated because you'll spend the rest of your life being miserable,
right?
And it's not cool, all right? So, trust is hard to come by. Being or getting hurt became natural.
Mm-hmm.
All a subset of what we just talked about, because relationships are harder now. There are more moving parts,
mm-hmm.
right? And so now you got a lot of different things that can hurt you if you don't address them. You really have to do a lot of daily maintenance on your relationship. You know, really simple stuff. Yeah, wear perfume or cologne in the house. Okay, comb your hair. Keep it 100. You know, some of y'all don't want to smell good or look good until you leave the house.
Right, that's true.
I mean,
you're right.
Comb your hair. Put on some clothes.
Right.
I mean, don't walk around in your stuff all day. This is men and women. Look attractive for your spouse.
Right.
You know, put on some cologne. Pam will tell you, she'd be like, you smell good. I put cologne on.
Right.
You know, because
yeah.
I'm not going to wear cologne just for people on the outside to tell me I smell good. You know what I'm saying? I want my wife to tell me, you smell good.
Right.
You know, you go out and she smell another man, she's going to be like, my husband will never smell like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just giving you guys the reality of what happens. And these are the things that people don't tell you.
Yeah.
That you
true.
Need to know mm-hmm. instead of somebody telling you, just keep praying. Keep God in the forefront, you know, just go to church every day and pay your tithes and everything going to be good. I'm giving you guys the practical things that you need to know that are attached to the stuff that you're being told, right? So these are the granular pieces that people don't get. And it's why relationships fail. And it's why number 10 comes into play.
Like,
why leaving became the only option.
Right? I'm out. Deuces.
You jacked up 1 through 9. Right. And you can't fix it anymore because the wheels fell off and you don't know how to put them back on. It's irreparable damage. The relationship has been total because you haven't adhered to the transition between relationships that work and relationships that don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
so,
good. That's
so,
good.
You know, those are the 10 things. And, you know, being very open and honest and transparent about things in your relationship, you know, it helps others. And I always fall back on this. We're transparent with our relationship, right? And we tell you guys certain things, all right? Because I heard a great man once say, confess your sins to God, confess your faults to man,
mm-hmm.
right? Your sin is what you talk to God about in your prayer closet. Because man, I don't care who he is, I don't care how pretty his robe is and how astute he looks standing in the pulpit. Man cannot handle your sin. Man is fallible, right? So when you tell a man about your sins, then that means you're giving him power that he can't handle, right? He can't help you with that. Only God can forgive you of your sins.
Right.
So what I mean by that, sins and faults, is we're transparent about our relationship, and we'll tell you guys that we had some struggles, right? And you can say you had struggles, and we'll depict those struggles as best we can, right, to help you guys. But we're not getting ready to tell you the dirty, dirty details of everything that happens in our house, right? Or everything, if anything bad happens, you guys, pretty much, we're not that deep. But, you know, there are some people out there, you may have done something right now. And I'll give you guys a great example. This is a great example.
IG is great.
Okay. How long? Okay. So we got a minute. I can tell this in a minute. IG, I'm sorry. Y'all should be on the Facebook.
That's not nice.
So I'll tell you guys this. So I remember, and Pam may remember this once I tell it. So I remember being at a church and, the young lady comes up to the pulpit And she confesses, not for herself, but for her husband. She says, you know, thank you guys for your prayers. My husband was addicted to pornography. He used to watch pornography every night and multiple times a day, and I didn't know what to do. And thank you for your prayers. God has delivered him from pornography. Dropped the mic, walked off. Now, everybody looks at that and says, wow, that's transparent. No, you confess not just your sins, but you confess somebody else's sins to the church. Now, so you know what that guy became in the church? No matter how much, because man can't handle your sins, right? No
yeah.
matter how much, he became pervert guy. Every time somebody says, hey, you remember the guy that drives the red car? Oh, yeah, pervert guy?
Sorry,
honestly, that's how it is. So you guys got to understand, man, some things you need
God.
To learn how to communicate your faults to people in such a way that they can't judge you. They can't use them against you, because they will form an opinion of you. And people can help you without you confessing your sins to them, right? So figure that part out. Ask forgiveness. And once you've asked forgiveness, it's done.
Yeah.
Just try to stop doing it over and over and over again, because my Bible says that's
new.
Yeah, see that.
Just leave it. We'll figure it out.
My Bible says, no, I did it already. Yeah.
But I think it now doesn't go anyway. Let's finish this up.
Yeah, my Bible says that, you know, when you do a certain thing for a certain amount of time and you keep asking forgiveness for the same thing and keep doing the same stuff, then eventually God will just turn you over to a reprobate mind.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
That means you just do it and you have no control over it, and you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it.
Right.
You know, and then that's when, you know, in the last days, guys like, you know, depart from me, ye that worked at iniquity, you never knew me. So those things, you know, I want to quote scripture to you guys.
It's just lead in.
It's real.
Ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real talk. So guys, this is the realest show ever. You know, we appreciate all of the comments and you guys being a part of this show and this series, man.
Yes.
And we'll get into some more stuff. Pam, you got something to say?
No. Yeah. I mean, I just want to say, you know, relationships are harder now. Every day you got to work on them. You got to, you know, make sure that you're communicating. What you put in is what you're going to get out. So if you put nothing into a relationship, you're not going to get anything out of it. And it's a daily grind. It's a daily growth, growing together, you know, not losing yourself in a relationship, but realizing that the power is in the partnership of the relationship. And because you said yes to one another, that it has to be a we mentality. It's not you. It's not I. It's a we mentality. And when you have that mindset, you'll be able to overcome and conquer everything. You know, you got a note down here, which is very powerful. And it says, if you have something that's worth it, don't take it for granted. You know, fight for it and don't let it go. And when you move forward in that relationship, because I could tell you that was the mindset that Nate and I had from the very beginning, we knew that our relationship was worth it. And so there's been times in which we may have taken it for granted, but we always, when those wheels started to wobble, we made a decision to, you know, fix it, you know, to work on it, to communicate, to not allow anything or anyone or any situation to come in and to tear that thing down. And so when you have that mindset in the relationship, no matter what it is, you're able to come together to communicate and to fight for it so that you don't let it go and you don't allow anything to come in and to stop it from moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So hope you guys got some value out of today's show and out of the series that we did over the past couple of weeks, guys. I would say that it wasn't easy, but it was easy because it's something that we do on a regular basis,
right,
in terms of being transparent about our lives in order to try to help people, you know, get some relief and bridge some gaps. So
right, absolutely.
You know, that's what we do. This show happens every Tuesday and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 Central Standard. Guys, tell somebody about the grind. Let them know that our heart here is to bridge gaps and help people get to the next level, man. And that's what it's always going to be, man. So God bless you guys, man. And thank you for being a part of the Really Show.
Right. And let me just share this as he's closing out. If you missed any of the episodes, you can go back to blogtalkradio.com/thegrind101 and definitely catch these episodes there. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at thegrind101. And, of course, to all of our Facebook watchers, they're right here on the page, okay? Just go back and watch them.
Right.
You can do that. All right. But God bless y'all. Have an amazing weekend. We will see you back on Tuesday as we bring forth another episode. Let's go.